Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
You are. Okay, can I have the gentleman up to take a seat? That would be great. Just while we're waiting for them, the guys to come up and we take up our giving, I just wanted to say these just a little scripture here out of John 14 and verse 8. Jesus is talking to the disciples. And he says, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and you know, the Father has chosen you, and all those things. And then in the middle of this discourse, Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. See, oftentimes we can be walking next to God and not know that it's God that's walking next to us. The disciples were no different. They're literally walking with God, and they didn't get it. They didn't get it that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. They didn't get it. So then he says to them, have I been with you so long and have you not known me, Philip? For who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. I just think it's an amazing thing. You know, it's really important. I love what Julie said in her communion about spending time with her dad, and that, you know, we often have regrets in our life where we wish we had have spent more time with those people that we really care about. And not all of our dads were great. You know, that is life. There are many broken people, including some dads that are broken, and they need Jesus. They need salvation. They need to find God. But these fine gentlemen, tired? You might be tired. No, they're fine. So, yes. So these fine gentlemen, we're going to ask them a few questions and we're going to have a bit of fun, and it should be some laughs as well, we're hoping. Or we'll cry, one of the others. So, Tom Mizamindo, have I said your name right? I'm good. It's only taken 8 years. No, great man of God. So we're going to ask you some questions first, Tom.
Yep.
So we'll go along and ask each guy the question, and then we'll move on. Okay. Yeah, grab another mic, Di. Maybe throw it down the back or something. Yeah, good idea. All right, Tom. So our first question to our good gentleman here is... Oh, hang on. What have I done with the questions? There they are. So what is the funniest thing... Okay, I understand. Sorry. I always need someone to organise me. It's good. Lucky I have a wonderful wife. Okay, what is the funniest thing that's ever happened to you as a father?
So many things. to single out one, well, it's a bit difficult, but yeah, I will try. To those who don't know me, I'm a father of 4 beautiful daughters. Yes. And I've enjoyed, or I'm still enjoying, raising them up, because I can say I have 2 batches of daughters, the 4 daughters. Like, I have the adults and I have the little ones, because my adult daughter, she's 27, and my youngest one, she's just 10, 7 years, day before yesterday. So I'll talk about my most recent experience, which is my youngest daughter, and her name is Rura. And what happened is my youngest daughter was playing with the kids from next doors, and they play with toys. And I heard the screams outside and wondered what it was. But yeah, it was Rura leading a group of little kids coming to me. And yeah, they were all like, one little girl was, she had tears in her eyes. And yeah, Rua was coming to me with holding a little toy. And she said, "Dad, can you fix this for her? This little toy for her, because I've told her that my dad can fix anything." So yeah, here I was. luckily, I have a toolbox at home. I always keep a toolbox at home with screws and super glue. So I did manage to fix that little toy, and I made everyone happy. It was just a very good experience.
Well done.
Yeah, because I didn't let my little kid down. She went with the other friends smiling, and I think I made her day.
That's great. Shane, same question to you, my friend. What's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you as a father?
Well, I've got four boys, ranging from 34 down to 26. So I guess it's, you know, it's really hard to, like Tom said, pinpoint. I think what I'll share is more of an oops moment on my behalf was, and the son that this involves, probably, he's not even aware of it. When he was first born, we lived in Bathurst, and my mum lived in Grenfell, which is about 3 or 4 hours away. So we decided to do a trip over there to show her Matthew. And being our first one, I was in charge of packing the car and to give Deb a bit of a break, and gone around, done it all, sat in the car getting ready to go. And Deb goes to me, "Are you sure we got everything?" Yeah, I'm already a certain. "You're positive?" "Yeah." And she's looked over her shoulder into the vacant back spot where Matthew should be. And yeah, it was a bit of an oops moment. I had to rush back. "Oh, there he is." He's just gurgling and chuckling away, but he was quite good. He was, and then on a happy note, he still lives with me now. So.
All right, Dave. Funniest thing that's happened to you as a father?
That was a difficult one because, you know, trying to pinpoint the right one.
Ones that you can actually say.
Ones that aren't going to be too embarrassing for anybody involved. But,
that's right.
I used to, basically, we used to have a lot of fun with the kids. I always try and have fun with them. And I always sort of play on the kids' inquisitiveness a little bit, you know, and we sort of, they ask random questions and I'll sometimes give them a random answer back. But one time when James had a big playroom and we put a TV in there with a DVD player, and he says, "TV doesn't work." So he asked his grandfather, he says, "What do I need to make this TV work?" Because we didn't have an antenna port in there either. And his grandfather says, "Well, you need to get bunny ears." He said, "Get your father to go and buy a pair of bunny ears." And what he meant was that antenna that you had. So, and it was around Easter. So I went down to the shop and I bought the bunny ears, but also lobbed into the reject shop. And for $2, I plonked down this head for this headband with ears on it. And I walk in and he goes, "Dad, did you buy the bunny ears?" I went, "Yep." "Now, here they are. Now, I don't care which one of you boys wears these, but one of you has to for the TV to work." And he goes, "All right." So he puts them on his head and he goes in his room, he turns the TV on. Nothing happens. So he goes to that side of the room, nothing, that side of the room. And I'm sort of standing there watching this and I'm sort of... I had to walk away and I went into Bej. I said to Faith, "This is what's going on." She starts laughing too, and then I hear, "Dad, it doesn't work." He's standing on the top of the double bunks with these things touching the roof. "It doesn't work, Dad!" I said, "Look, son, here's this. Let's go and plug these in." It was just, yeah. It was just one of those things where I sort of played on, you know, put a little bit of a joke on him, but, you know, it all worked out well at the end.
Ian. Well, Ian, I grew up helping on a property and cheering Tom. I used to go out and help, you know, press the wool and do that sort of thing. So, and I learnt a lot of language in the shearing sheds. A little bit later, when I became a Christian, it wasn't Greek. A little bit later when I became a Christian, and then when I became a father, I worked out that I really needed to curb my language. And as Norm would know, when you're playing golf, that's the greatest incentive to, you know, really let fly. So I knew I couldn't swear. So what I worked out was I was allergic to egg and peanut butter. So when I hit a really bad shot, I would call the ball a rotten peanut butter-covered egg. And that was it. You know, a rotten peanut butter-covered egg. Anyway, I went home and shared this with the kids that I didn't swear. I just called it a rotten peanut butter-covered egg. They said, "Dad, you're a minister. For you, that's swearing." Okay. Okay. So next time I go out, all right, yeah, hit a bad shot. I was playing with Norm again, probably. Hit a bad shot. Called it a peanut butter covered egg. Comes home. Kids say, "Dad, how'd you go?" Well, what they wanted to do to help me, you know, really curb my language was whenever I swore, in their eyes, I had to take the whole family to McDonald's. The whole family. Very expensive with four kids, let me tell you. So I come in, they said, "How'd you go at golf, Dad?" And I said, "Get in the car." Get in the car.
All right, Rick.
Look, I've got three or four kids. I got three deafness that I know of. Well, four, mate. Yeah, four deafness, but I know of three of them. And so I'm not going to talk about my kids. I'm going to talk about one of my step-grands. She is absolutely gorgeous. She makes you laugh and she's she's a character. I'm not going to talk about her bolting out the doggy door at the back, because you always go through the doggy door at the back of our house. But she, when I was eating a lot more chocolates, she was always raiding the fridge for my chocolates. And she'd go out there and she'd pull the chocolates out. And one time I hid the chocolates. And she's out there and I walked out and she's got the fridge door wide open, because I'd taken the chocolates out of the fridge. I put them up high because she always found them when they were in the fridge. She did an egg race with the egg, you know, the little basket where the eggs are in the fridge. She was running backwards and I'd run towards her and she'd run and put it back and then grab some more. And I can't believe it was, you know, she just would not stop. Little Evie, she's gorgeous little, but she wouldn't stop and she finally stopped. And I was just totally amazed that we didn't have at least a dozen broken eggs that particular day. Yep.
Cool. I'll pass it back to the front here. Okay. So the second question is, what has been your greatest joy as a father?
Still comes to the same first question. There's so many joys that happen in the family, and yeah, you can't really single out that this is it. So I'll try to explain or to give an answer that will encompass maybe more than one. I can say seeing the development of your children from the time they're born to where they are now has been part of the greatest joy as a father. And that I'm able to protect, to provide, and to take care of the of their needs, be it at school or anywhere where they, whatever they need, they always coming to their father and asking for something, and I'm there as the father to make sure that I do provide for what their needs. And also the greatest joy for me has been able to teach them the values of life. That if they want any meaningful existence in this world, they have to put God first in whatever they're doing. And also, it's been part of my greatest joy again to be showing them, because I have daughters, so I need to show them, to show and demonstrate what a healthy marriage is. So I think I'm doing the right thing.
Well done. Yeah, good job.
What's the question?
What's been your greatest joy as a father?
Yes, Joey. Very. Joey's my fifth son. The birth of all four of my boys. You know. But I'm going to share something, and this only happened 2 hours ago. This is my second son, Daniel. He was my, well, mine and Debbie's wild child. He fractured a law or two. But I'll just share what he wrote on Facebook. I'd like to wish my father, my dad, a happy Father's Day. Couldn't ask for a better father. I hope one day I can be as good a man as you. As you, Dad, you're my idol. And not only my dad, but my best friend. For everything, I'm proud to call you my dad. Love you, mate. So I guess moments like that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. What can I say?
That's good, Shane. Yeah, that's good.
This is a challenging one. But I thought that, not all of us sort of trained or paid to be teachers, but as fathers, we're all teachers anyway to our kids. And, I find the greatest joy seeing my boys take something that I've taught them and excel at it or run with it. You know, like from taught James to kick a football around the backyard, and then to umpire his Auskick games a little bit later was amazing. And Jeremy's amazing on... I taught Jeremy a whole bunch of computer knowledge, and he's running with that now. And Jacob's drums, well, that's sort of part nature, part nurture. But to see him now be up on stage at almost 10 playing drums in church is an absolute joy for me. And knowing that I had a role in fostering that interest, I had James on helping me out at the barbecue at sort of 2.5, and now he wants to be a chef. I mean, that's, no, it's not all me, but it's the seed was planted somewhere, and that's what I that's one of my joys.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the greatest joy for me is that each of our four children came to the Lord before they were five, and boy, I tell you what, that takes the hassles out of teenage years. Some of them. But I guess this, because the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go or she should go, and when they are old they will not depart from it. Yeah. And I learnt something in the garden. When you are putting a little plant in the garden, you put two stakes beside it, but you don't tie it tightly to the stakes. You put an old tube, rubber tube or something like that in there. So there's a bit of give and take. And that's how we need to be. We need to provide the example and discipline, but in love. And we had a family get-together with all our children, and we've got six grandchildren now, and I've got a sister who was adopted, and we didn't meet her for quite a few years, and she just loves our family, and her and her husband were there. I think there were 16 in all. And we're at Tea Gardens in this big house for our family weekend. And I decided, look, it's really too hard to get all these people to church on time. We'll have church in the house. And so we sat round the lounge room and we took a toilet roll. And what I asked them to do is when you catch the toilet roll, you just have to say one thing that you can thank God for. So we tossed the toilet roll and Annalise, who was about three, she didn't let go of one end, so it just streamed out all over the place. But we finally got that sorted out and it was her turn. A three-year-old and she could say, this is her little grandchild, she could say what she could thank God for. And she threw the toilet roll and then she started crying. She said, I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet. But we went round that entire family, all 16 children, grandchildren, brother and sister-in-law, son and daughter-in-law, and every one of them could say something that they could give thanks for to God for. And that was just such a joy.
Yeah, that's good. Excellent. Yeah, good.
I'm going to be really simple. I just thank the Lord after all the years of waiting for my daughter to finally accept Jesus. She's 42 now. And, she's in church now and she loves the Lord.
That's great.
And that's it.
Good on you, Rick. Yep, so I'm going to skip question three, guys. I'm going to throw a curly one at you. I'm going to throw a curly one. Okay. If you could give just one piece of fatherly wisdom that you have learned, what would it be? See, I'm taking you off your notes now, sorry.
Yeah. I'll say a preserved childhood is better than a repaired adulthood.
Oh, yes.
What I mean by this is your words as a father, your eyes, your actions of reproof will serve as a guide. Will serve as a guard and as a guide as your child reaches each growth hurdle or growth stage.
Ah, brilliant. That's good. Thanks, Tom.
Listen, don't be judgmental, caring, be open. That's really, you've got to listen to your kids. Can't judge them. Not too much, anyway. And be caring, There's a lot of us out there who didn't have fathers, especially on this day, So.
Yeah. Good on you, Sean.
The question was one piece of fatherly advice that you've learnt, and that's why I'm a teacher, yeah. This was a challenging one. The first thing I thought of is never play leapfrog with a unicorn.
Why not?
But if it,
just remember it's live. It can't be cut. It is what it is.
But I'm sure it does. Anyway, the other one that I was thinking of was I don't know who said it, but it's to know your history or you're doomed to repeat it from a point of view that know your heritage, know sort of the humanity of all the people that have come before you, and take the good bits, take and leave the bad bits behind, and that way you'll become a better person as you move forward.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, good on you, Dave. That's good.
Well, I have some simple advice in one sentence. For dads, they need to become hicks. Anybody know what a hick is? It's one of those down-and-out country people, like the Beverly Hillbillies. They're hicks. But that's not the sort of hicks I'm talking about. I'm talking about dads need to have humility. They need to be able to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Not, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'm sorry. They need that humility to actually ask forgiveness of their children. They need integrity. And one of the things that, kids, our kids will look at it, you know, we need to be the same in church as in the home.
Yep.
And that's really, really important. And I've got some beautiful messages from my grandchildren that have said, thanks for the role model that you are. The C is a Christ-like love. That's an agape love, unconditional love. You know, not a judgmental, you do this and then I'll love you. It's a, I love you because you are my child. So that's that Christ-like, self-giving love. And the last one, I think, is a sense of humour. Without a sense of humour, we're just going to crash and burn.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not going to say much. Be real and honest. You know, tell them to be real in themselves. Real. Like my daughter came over the other day, and I was in a lot of pain as you know, what I've been through. And I says, "Oh, can you help me vacuum?" She says, "I'll do it." She got up and vacuumed the whole lounge room and all the way. And I was, yeah, I was so pleased.
That's good. Thanks, Rick. Well, thank you, gentlemen. My one piece of advice would be this. Put your plans before the Lord before you do them. And listen for answers. A lot of us would be in a lot less trouble if we had listened to that small, still voice that said, don't do that. Don't go this way. But we think, that's just me. No, it's Father, God, trying to warn us. And so put your plans before the Lord before you do them. And he will establish your ways. And he will give you answers. Answers that you'll be amazed at. You know, I can't tell you how many times over the years that I've sought my Father in heaven for an answer. And sometimes strangers will come up and say something and you think, that was my answer. And sometimes not even a non-Christian person will come up and say something and that will be the answer. But the trick is to be listening. What Shane said, be listening. Not just to our kids and to our families, but to what our Father in heaven is saying. Listen to that small, still voice. I tell you, it'll get you out of a lot of trouble. Yeah. You know. How many of us have thought after an event, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah? Oh, only me. Good. Two of us are telling the truth. There's just something about Father God. He does look after us. He does care for us because he's a good dad. He's a good dad. If I see my kids, and all these guys are the same, if they see their kids going in a weird direction, regardless of how that might sound to their kids, they're going to tell them, don't go that way. It won't be healthy for you. It won't be good. They probably won't listen, but it doesn't matter. You'll tell them anyway because it's important. Because that's what a good father does, doesn't he? A good dad looks out for his kids. A good father cares for what's going to happen to their children. And sometimes we've got to, like our Father in heaven, you've got to take your hands off, let them fall over, let them dust themselves off, but always be there for them. As a good dad, we're always there for our kids. Always.
Keith, just a passage that I think really encapsulates what you're saying. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will show you the right way. He will make your path smooth.
Amen. Amen. How good is that? Well, God bless you, church. Have a fantastic Father's Day. I think we've got some nibblies and some coffee. But if you've got to go, feel free to go. We'll just finish in prayer. Father God in heaven, we just love you so much. We are so grateful for all that you've done for us and in our lives, that you've saved us, that you have taken away our sins, Lord God, and you've loved us and brought us into your family. We thank you particularly for our fathers. Lord, we thank you for them, whether they were good, bad, or the ugly, Lord. We just thank you for them all. And we ask you would bless them and encourage them and to help them, Father God. And we thank you for every family in this church, that you would make it stronger every single day. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, church, and have a fantastic day.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.